Hello, my name's Kate Rolls and I'm interviewing you for the Wellcome Trust as you're taking part in Anthony Gormley's new artwork, One and Other. The date today is the 26th of July 2009 and the time is 4:09 a.m. If I can please ask you to state your full name, your date of birth and where you come from.
Nicholas John Stanley Andrews, born 11th of October 1957 and I currently reside in Littleborough, Rochdale, Greater Manchester.
Lovely. And is that where you're from originally?
No. I originate from Yorkshire and various parts of Yorkshire, Scarborough, Doncaster and the heavy woolen area, Leeds, Bradford. So.
Okay, lovely. And how are you today?
Fine.
Yeah?
Surviving. It's been a long trip down.
Yeah. And you're going to stand on the fourth plinth.
Yes.
Today.
Yeah.
If I can take you back to when you first heard about the project and ask what it was that made you apply.
The experience, I think, mainly. Although Anthony Gormley as well, to be involved in a piece of his artwork would be good fun. But really, just to experience standing on the fourth plinth. It's not something that you get a chance to do.
No.
So, put the application in.
Fantastic. And when you found out that you had got a place, how did you decide how to best use your hour?
I suppose partly it's what I'm involved in back in Littleborough. There's two aspects. There's one is I'm involved with a community band, Pandemonium Percussion Project, and we started out as a samba band, but now we play samba, African, taiko. So thought, yeah, it'd be good to stand up there and do a bit of drumming and maybe get some people around the plinth drumming with me. So brought some friends down, but hopefully we'll get one or two other people participating as well. And the other part is we've started a celebration in Milne Row, celebrating the character Tim Bobbin, who was a Lancashire dialect writer 300 years ago, and he wrote some quite interesting dialect and pieces at that time, which I think are still relevant today. So I'm going to recite one of those while I'm up on the plinth as well, which is about the rich making the most of it and not bothering about the people. And I think, you know, you look at the MP's expenses and look after themselves, don't they? So 300 years ago, we've not moved on. So, yeah, interesting.
Brilliant. How did you get involved in this percussion band?
Just a general interest, really. Turned up to one of the drum circles that they run weekly, monthly, and then joined the band. It's just a community band, so anybody can come and play. You don't need to be able to play a drum or have any particular music education. Just go along and beat out a drum. And sometimes it's very refreshing to go and beat out a drum when you're frustrated. But other times, no, we have some good fun. And we do various festivals and things. Perform at, we're going back today to perform at the Freehold Carnival at 12 o'clock in Rochdale, so there's a mad rush back up for three or four of us to get there to perform today.
Uh-huh. What's the Freehold Carnival?
I think it's in its 35th year, and it's something that the local community in Freehold Rochdale have organised, and it's predominantly a Asian community, and there's a bit of green space, and they're just good food, Asian food. Lots of things to do, and we go along and we try and get people to participate in drumming.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what do you get out of it personally? What does music bring to you?
A release, I suppose, from everyday life. I mean, perhaps I was forced to learn to play the piano by parents many years ago when I was small, but now enjoy playing the piano, only occasionally, unfortunately, it's somewhere to disappear to, isn't it? It just takes you away from all your cares and concerns. You engross yourself in something that's got just enjoyable to do. So yeah, and the drumming's the same. Things are the same. It's a real release.
Yeah. Do you make your own songs?
We have a musical director, Steve Ignat, and he puts together pieces for us, so yes, we take pieces from various parts of the world, and we'll adapt them to the equipment that we've got. So we might take something that's played on samba drums and adapt it to playing it on African drums, and the taiko stuff, we've adapted some of that to play on samba drums. So yeah, we're trying to just mix and match, really.
How many of you are there in the group?
It varies. At the moment, we're probably about 10 strong. I think we've been up to about 15 at one point, and sometimes there's been five of us. But because it's a community band and you can come and go as you please, and there's no requirements for membership or anything, people just come and go as they please. Some stay a long time, some don't. They'll come and have a go for a month, a year, and then they'll disappear again and move on to something else. But that's the beauty of the community band. It can be frustrating at times, because you go back and learn, people have to learn and catch up with you, but even for those that have been involved, it's great to go back and just refresh your memory about some of the basics.
Yeah. And are you going to be wearing anything special or significant whilst you're there?
Yeah, we have our pandemonium outfit, which is a cow pants, pandas, black and white, and a white t-shirt. So yes, it's what we wear at the festivals. Marks us out a little bit.
Brilliant. And what do you do for a living?
Work for a local authority, Oldham Council. A planner by profession, trained as a planner, but work in the field of regeneration. So we're trying to improve the lot of the people of Oldham. We're doing various projects. Some would say that we're not improving their lot because we're taking their houses away. We're compulsory purchasing properties to redevelop communities. But we think overall it's probably the right thing to do, but you'll never get everybody agreeing with you, so regeneration for Oldham.
How do you find working for Oldham Council?
Enjoyable at times, frustrating at others. Processes and procedures can be long-winded when you want to get on with things. We've just gone through a very difficult period at the council, where we've had to make some compulsory redundancies. We've lost, or people have left, they've taken voluntary redundancy, fortunately, in the team, but we've lost a lot of experience and a lot of expertise. So we're sort of venturing out anew now and see where that takes us. But generally, I enjoy working with the communities. I think we do some good. I think we do get the communities involved in things, and hopefully then they can move on.
Yeah. How long have you worked there?
Worked in Oldham for 21 years. 1988 I arrived in Oldham, so yeah. Aww. 21 years, it's a long time, but yeah. Various jobs there. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. What other jobs have you done?
Was the regeneration unit. It's all been in regeneration. I came as a planning officer, and I suppose my first big task about land reclamation, working on a programme for land reclamation across the borough. And then there was the canal restoration projects, and then moved into the Westwood area, working with the Asian community, Bangladeshi community, and all sorts of work, from trying to get people into jobs, raising educational standards, again doing up properties, securing monies for a new Millennium Centre. So yeah, very varied, and but enjoyable.
How have you seen the area change from an inside point of view working for the council?
I think sometimes we take for granted the changes, and I think sometimes you've got to look back and really think back to what it was like when I first arrived. I think there's been a lot of change within Oldham, most of it for the better. There's substantial physical change. The town centre's changed, the communities I think have changed and have come together. There's much a very diverse community in Oldham, but and we've had our problems, and that's been well documented. But I think overall, most people do get on in the borough. It's a small minority, like it is anywhere, that potentially spoils it for people. But don't read all the don't believe all the stories you read in the press about Oldham, because it's not true.
You're talking to a fellow northerner.
Good. Yeah. Right. Where are you from?
I'm from Preston.
Oh, right. So you know the area then. Yeah.
So do you plan to stay in working in regeneration?
I mean, I suppose that's where my interest is. And even outside work, I'm a director of a development trust in Littleborough, which is where the Tim Bobbin thing come, because as part of that we run what we call a project called the Pennines Festivals, which is about trying to get people from the various townships, villages in the Pennines area to come together and share what they've got. So we ran, last year was the 300th anniversary of Tim Bobbin, the birth of Tim Bobbin, so we ran the first Tim Bobbin Festival. The trust got monies from Heritage Lottery Fund, and we put on a whole series of activities ranging from an oral history project with young school children interviewing people that then went onto a CD. We got a book called Rants, Rhymes and Reflections, which was storytellers and artists going around the village, again collecting stories and sketching people from the village. We had a play produced by the local amateur dramatic society, Life and Times of Tim Bobbin, and we got a storyteller into the schools, and he did stuff with clog dancers and a singer around the traditional clog dancing and the Rawtenstall fair song, but adapted to Milnrow. So yeah, we had a great time, 6 months of activities, and we hope to do it again this year. Not 6 months this time, but we'll run the second Tim Bobbin Festival later this year.
Fantastic. And was it your idea?
The idea about Pennines Festivals was my idea about trying to get... There's lots of great activities that go on, but they don't seem to come together. So the idea was to get round and try and encourage them. And we went out to the various towns, and Milnrow just said, well, we've got this character called Tim Bobbin and it's 300th anniversary next year. Could we do something? So we took the idea and said, yeah, we can. And because it's Lancashire dialect and it's storytelling, what we'd like to do is put Milnrow on the map as being the centre for Lancashire dialect and storytelling in Greater Manchester, which would be great. So we'll work towards it, and that's the interest in the trust. So that's the idea, and I see that as being very much part of regeneration, getting people involved in their local communities.
Yeah, completely. Could you say a bit more about Tim Bobbin?
Tim Bobbin, also known as John Collier, born. He was a itinerant school teacher that eventually settled in Milnrow. He's been described as the Lancashire Hogarth, because he also did caricatures. Some were very scurrilous, but he also wrote various stories and poems in Lancashire dialect, and we believe the sort of first glossary of Lancashire dialect together, So he's got an important part to play in the life and times of Lancashire, we believe, and along with one or two other fellow Lancashire dialect writers and poets in the area, made a significant mark, and so it's good to celebrate him. Yeah.
Brilliant. And are you originally from Yorkshire and then you moved to Lancashire?
Yes, yeah. That's one thing I wind them all up about. You know, it takes a Yorkshireman to come over here and celebrate Lancashire dialect, because they couldn't do it by themselves. No, it's just I pulled a leg about it. But yes, I'm originally from Yorkshire. The accent's from Yorkshire. I hope, anyway.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah.
When did you leave Yorkshire?
When I left to go to college, really, in 1976, left school and went to Liverpool to study planning. Returned to Yorkshire for about 4 years to get when I got my first job, but then have moved over to the other side of the hill. Yeah.
Have you noticed, what are the main differences that you've noticed, if any?
Between Yorkshire and Lancashire?
Yeah.
I suppose where I live in the Pennines, there's not a lot of difference. I mean, we are neighbours, you know. A mile up the road is the Yorkshire boundary. I don't think there's a lot of difference at all. When you get out to Liverpool, the accents are a bit different. Salford accents are a bit different, but there again, you go to sort of Leeds and Bradford and the accents are different. You get out to the coast and the accents are slightly different, but at the end of the day, everybody's the same. Yeah, there's not a lot of difference.
You've got a lot of interests.
Yeah.
Is there anything else about your kind of what makes up you as a person? Any other kind of interests or passions, or what's important to you?
I enjoy cycling when I can. And do a bit of running. My partner's the runner, but she does get me out, which does me some good. So I'm grateful for that. I've got two daughters that take up some time. I mean, they're both left home. They've both been through college. They're both working now, but they still take up time and money, don't they? So, but that's what daughters are about. No, they're great. I think that's probably most of what I do. Involved in other local activities, the Littleborough Arts Festival, Rochdale Social Enterprise Forum, so I just generally like to be busy, perhaps too busy at times, but we get there.
And you're going to go up on the plinth tonight. How are you feeling about that? Have you got any hopes or fears or expectations?
No fear. A little apprehensive, I suppose. Just how is it going to go? But then you think, well, you know, there's 2,399 others that are going up there as well. So I'm sure they've all been through the same. No, intend to enjoy it.
Good. And have you been to London before?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I've been several times. Yeah.
I imagine as a town planner.
Yeah. The last time we were down here as a planner was down here because we were in the High Court. That was interesting, yeah. So defending our decision to buy people's houses compulsorily, which was about 2 years ago. So, yeah, that was just part of work.
Do you want to say a bit more about that?
I mean, we're working in an area of Oldham called Durka, where, yes, we are compulsory purchasing a lot of terraced housing. Oldham's got far too many terraced houses, and we need to start to stimulate change. The area was beginning to decline. Properties hadn't been purchased for £5,000 or less, run by landlords, and people were moving in and out, and the area was beginning to decline to the disbenefit of a lot of the local community. We've got housing market renewal monies, and we've been working to redevelop some of the areas and bring some new housing, more modern housing that's suited for both the 21st century and for families. Issued a compulsory purchase order. We went through the public inquiry, but we were challenged on the outcome of that by a number of residents. And whilst I can empathise with each one of those individual residents and absolute sympathy for them that they've been caught up in this, as an authority and as officers, we've got to take the wider view. Unfortunately, their properties just happened to be in the wrong place. So whilst I empathise and sympathise with them, we're making every effort to find them suitable accommodation elsewhere. But, you know, we've got Elijah, who was one in particular that I do sympathise with. He was 80-odd, fought in the wars. he bought his house in the 1950s. He brought his son up there. His son died there. His wife died there. And basically, he wants to live out his days there. And I completely empathise with that, unfortunately. As I say, it's just in the wrong place. And most of the people, 80% of them, have voluntarily sold the house to the local authority. They've taken the opportunity to say, well, yeah, here's a chance for me to move on, find something better somewhere else, and have taken and accepted the council's proposals. There's a small minority that will wait until the CPO is confirmed, and then they'll move out once we serve the appropriate notices. But most people can understand why we're doing it. As I say, there's probably about a handful that are continuing to challenge us. And I don't blame them. I think I would have probably done exactly the same. Make sure that the decision was right. But it just means everything's taking longer.
What's the CPO?
Compulsory purchase order.
Right,
yeah,
okay.
Where you've got no right to refuse the council's offer. We still pay market value plus the enhancements and moving costs and everything else, so we're not literally taking people's houses, we are giving them what they are valued at.
And is that still ongoing now?
And that's still ongoing, yes. Yeah, we're back down in London in the High Court of Appeal at the end of October, because there's another stage to the challenge.
And what's defined as more modern housing? How is it going to be different from terraced houses?
Some of it will still be built as terraces, but it'll be to modern standards. They'll be built to the new code for sustainable homes, so they'll be more energy efficient. There'll be probably better space standards than the old terraced houses. Most will have a garden and parking spaces. Generally, better fit housing. I mean, not that the terraces are unfit, and there will still be, and we are still refurbishing many of the terraced houses in Dirca as well. It's not demolishing everything, we're just taking out, well, I say a few, we're taking out about 500, but there'll still be 1,000 left there. So just trying to shift the balance so that everything's two up, two down, that we've actually got some 3- and 4-bedroomed houses, so that if people do have families, they can move in, they can stay in the area without within Dirca, move up from a terraced into a 3- or 4-bedroom property without leaving the community. Whereas at the moment, there's not a lot of opportunities to do that. If they want a bigger house, they have to move out of the area. Well, so we'd like to see people stay. Yeah.
Well, thanks very much for that. It's really fascinating.
Okay.
So back to the plinth.
Yeah.
Just to kind of finally talk about the impact that you think the project will have and what it means for you personally, I suppose.
Impact on me, just the chance to go back up to Rochdale, Oldham and Manchester and say, I've been there, I've done it, I enjoyed it, and a chance to promote the two things that I'll be promoting on. I was there as part of Pandemonium Percussion Project and promoting Tim Bobbin, so just a chance to raise the profile of those two particular projects, perhaps in the local press and everything, so that opportunity will be taken, I hope. That's the main impact. What was the other part of the question?
In a wider sense, what do you think about the project overall?
I think it'll be interesting. I mean, to see how 2,400 different people, what they do on the plinth. Yeah, it'd be fascinating. I suppose a bit like the oral history part, isn't it? That's the visual side of it. You'll have the oral, you'll have the visual. Current day,
yeah.
Britain, 21st century, or the beginning of the 21st century.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, brilliant. Thank
you
very much.
You're welcome.